Friends, this morning we have a guest speaker, and honestly, Paul is one of the, probably, he's in my probably top three of people that I laugh with. Every time we're together, we have so many great laughs and great conversations. He was the church ministries director in Alberta for a number of years, and so that's where we met around our national youth teams. And then after he served Alberta Northwest Territory District, he became the national multiplication network coordinator. And so he really is hired by our national office to help churches across the PAOC plant new works. And he's been a great asset to Pastor Travis as we've been working with the Oxygen Initiative, and just has been super helpful. And so he's in the area this week, and when he told me he was going to be here, I said, hey, why don't you preach? We'd love to hear you. He's a fantastic communicator, full of energy and inspiring. He's spoken at all kinds of camps and conferences, retreats over the years, and one of my dear friends. And so I'm going to ask that you give a great CPC welcome to Paul Fraser as he comes right now.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That was a great good morning. Well done. Sometimes you get to different places, they don't know you, they say good morning. They're like, I still haven't figured you out yet. I don't know if I'm ready to say good morning to you yet. But thank you for being so engaged with Pastor Jeff for the opportunity to speak today. People have said it's good to see some familiar faces as well in meeting some new people as well. One of the things that I've heard people say, it's a real small world. But I like this phrase better. It's a big family. And it's so great to be with family today and excited to share the word with you today. Pastor Jeff has, last couple of weeks, have preached on the spiritual warfare series, talking about closing the door on footholds and strongholds and keeping alert and being aware of the spiritual realm. Last week, talking about the authority we have in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the importance of prayer in spiritual warfare and about raising the intensity to do that. I've been married almost 27 years this August. We have four kids, all adult to young adult children that have been living at home with us. And during the pandemic, and there's no shortage of leadership in our home. We've had six adults living in the house and a dog as well. And I've been spending most of the pandemic with the dog in the front room in an office and doing lots of Zoom meetings. Anyone tired of Zoom meetings yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm in the right crowd. And so when my oldest son, Jaden, and my oldest daughter, Callie, were younger, they would play pretend all the time. And like the pastor's kids, one day I caught them playing Benny Hinn. I don't know if you know who Benny Hinn is. He's the healing evangelist, and when you hear the testimony, bring him up, and then you pray, and they fall over. And so Jaden was at least wise enough to put a beanbag chair behind Callie because there's no catchers. So we caught them playing Benny Hinn. Also caught them one time playing Jesus is Satan. You know, good pastoral kids. And my son Jaden, he always wanted to be Jesus. Why? Because Jesus always, he always wins. And Jaden's very competitive. So that didn't last very long with Callie. She was tired of losing. But even at a very early age, they knew that there was a good and evil fight. And they knew that God always wins. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Do you know what the Greek word for trouble is? Trouble. It means what it means. There's no hidden meaning. In this world, it's going to be difficult. You're going to have trouble. But the next phrase is what we can all get excited about. He says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So, we're going to go into Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. And while you're flipping there, or scrolling there, or opening your Bible app, the book of Ephesians was written in AD 62. From prison, Paul's writing. Right around the same time he wrote the book of Colossians, in fact. And, you know, sure, being in prison, you have lots of time to pray, lots of time to seek the Lord. And we see the overflow of Paul's revelation and wisdom and understanding in that time spent with the Holy Spirit. And like many of Paul's letters, this letter is again meant to encourage and strengthen the churches and leaders to keep growing in Christ. And of course, Ephesians is no different. And Ephesians is six chapters long, and the first three chapters talk about how we are redeemed by God. And then chapters 4 to 6 talk about how the redeemed are supposed to live. And so Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18 says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is against flesh and blood, against government and health authorities and Facebook friends and Twitter followers and cryptocurrency and metaverse and oil and gas. Sorry, I'm from Alberta. I had to do that. Is that what it says? No. For our struggle is not. It's not against flesh and blood. So if we find ourselves in a battle with people, perhaps we need to take a step back and go to prayer. Because that's where the real struggle is. You want something changed? Go to the one who can change it. I'll just stop right here. Maybe this morning you woke up and you thought, I'd like to place a nicely placed amen somewhere. You know, not at the end of a dinner, because that seems like too, like, I'm just going to do that anyways. But you woke up and you got this, as Pastor David Hatcher was saying, I've got a burning amen in me and I need to get it out. That was a great spot for you just to lay an amen in there. So I'll give you another chance. If you want something changed, go to the one who can change it.
Amen.
Thank you. For our struggle, it's not against flesh and blood. But it is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so Paul in verse 13 begins to talk about the armor of God, and he was probably looking at the Roman soldiers guarding him. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything
to stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18 is where we're going to end up landing here in a few moments. And pray in the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer requests, and with this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I've been giving this a little bit of thought lately as Pastor Jeff and I were talking about this series and trying to think of, well, why is it that it seems like the church in Canada has lost a passion to pray? In our POC family, every year, pastors have to fill out a survey, and, you know, you list the baptisms and salvations and, you know, all the different metrics, and we ask questions trying to gather data to see where the church is in Canada. So, in this year, the POC, we call it the All Church Life Report, reported in 2020 that we had only 51% of our churches reporting saying they had prayer meetings. Back to 2015, that number was 82%. So that's a 31% decrease in churches that are having prayer meetings. I don't know. Maybe it's busyness. Maybe it's the lack of need for God. Maybe you've got some other insight. But perhaps it's this idea as well. That sometimes it's tough to battle with an invisible enemy. It's much easier to fight someone or something seen. So then we try to find something to have a visible fight. You're a spiritual group, so maybe my hand's the only one up today. But you ever read the news? You ever read Facebook arguments or Twitter rants? And then you get in that moment where you realize you're frustrated, you're hurt, maybe you're angry, and you want to express that to them, that's normal. Or you're in a conversation with friends and family and you have a difference of opinion and maybe your ideas are getting attacked. and you want to respond. I heard someone say that character is like a vending machine. You only find out what you have when your buttons get pushed. But sometimes I think we forget that our struggle or our wrestle is against flesh and blood. That it isn't against flesh and blood. So I try to find ways to be angry sometimes or to criticize leadership at all levels. Even I find myself wanting to be right in arguments. And I'm concerned that the battle language that we see in Scripture for Christians today is being redirected to all the wrong places. We think and act like things are going to change first in the physical and then the spiritual, but that's backwards. Could I get an amen out there? We need a breakthrough in the spiritual realm first. And so Graham Cook, teacher, prophetic, had a great prophetic ministry. He said this. He says, we need the breakthrough in the spiritual realm first. Why? Because we are not human beings having spiritual experiences. We are spiritual beings having a human one. I want you to think about that for a second. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human one. So in verse 10, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I'm going to come back to this at the end. But the encouragement is to be in Jesus. Jesus is our strength and Jesus is in our power. Then he says we need to put on the full armor of God. And in fact, he says it twice so that we make sure that we're not vulnerable. I had a pastor friend say to me once, one of the people in his church came up, he says, Pastor, I pray every single day to put on the full armor of God. And my pastor friend said, why did you take it off? It's supposed to be on. Putting the full armor of God speaks of readiness. Readiness against what? Readiness against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So just standing there in the armor with no fight seems kind of silly. It's like a costume in a kid's dress-up box. So how do we engage this? Well, it's in verse 18, and like I said at the beginning, maybe you've already jumped ahead and you know how this sermon is going to end. And so you're feel free to fall asleep. But if you want to stick with me to the end, here's what it is. And before I jump to that, I want to explain one thing. I think we need to understand what the spiritual fight is actually all about and what the enemy will do. So what's the fight about? Simply put, it's about you. It's about me. That's what this whole fight is about. In Luke chapter 22, the disciples are arguing this time about who's going to be the greatest, right? Who's going to be the greatest? And so they're going back and forth, and Jesus said, the greatest in the kingdom is what? The servant. He says that. But he quickly changes topic, and he says this, Simon, Simon. At this point, his name was Peter. Did you know that? His name was Peter. It had already been changed, but he's saying, Simon, Simon, meaning you're thinking like your old self again when you're talking about who's going to be the greatest. Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to sift all of you as wheat, but he says, I prayed for you that faith may not fail. I've grown up, maybe like you, and playing a lot of competitive sports, I'll confess to you today that I'm a very competitive person. Is there anyone else that could relate to that? I know, Pastor Jeff's hands up, I know that for sure. There's a funny story about us playing basketball, but I'll have to tell that another time. But anyways, I'm super competitive. And so sometimes, not always, my Christian character would come out, specifically playing ball hockey. And, sometimes there's some chatter that goes on, playing basketball, smack talk, whatever you want to call it, you know, back and forth. And I've played sports most of my life, so 40-plus years. And in all my years, I've never heard anyone say this, hey, you, close your mouth or I'm going to sift you like wheat. If I actually heard that, I would laugh so hard. And then also give them a high five. Like, that was a great one. You see, it doesn't seem very dangerous unless you're wheat. Sifting like wheat was a very dangerous process for wheat. What they would do is they would throw the wheat in the air and slam it to the ground and throw it in the air and slam it to the ground, trying to separate the stalk of grain from the head of grain. And it was a violent process. And you see, that's what the enemy is trying to do, is to separate you and to separate me from God. He wants to shake your faith. He wants to shake your trust, your calling, your purpose, your passion. You see, disconnection is the goal. No relationship. He does not want you to have relationship with him. So that's the purpose. That's what the fight is all about. Well, what will the enemy do? The Bible says that we are to not be unaware of the enemy's schemes. And so 1 John chapter 2, verses 16, lays it out for us. This is what the enemy is going to do. So we know what the fight is about, and we know now, as I read this, how he's going to fight. And it says this, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." The New Living Translation, I think, gives a nice, clear picture, at least for me. "For the world offers only a physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and a pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are of this world." You see, these were the same three things that Jesus faced when he was in the desert for 40 days. These are the enemy's schemes. He's not creative. He just keeps doing them over and over and over. So, folks, today you can see what the battle is about and how the battle is going to be had. So now I think we're ready for the next verse. And so verse 18 says this, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people." So praying in the Spirit. I heard this a lot growing up in Pentecostal circles. And basically, you know, kind of how I grew up thinking was, well, praying in the Spirit was like just praying in tongues. And that definitely can be a part of it, but I actually think it's much broader than that. So if you've never spoken in tongues, you can definitely still pray in the Spirit. So for me to kind of explain it, it might be helpful to think of the opposite of what praying in the Spirit is, to create a contrast for you to see. So the contrast of it would be praying in the flesh. So what does praying in the flesh look like? Well, praying in the flesh is just with your human ability, your effort. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees of the day because they had great prayers, and they would go stand on corners, and they would try to show off on how good they were praying. You see, anything that is just primarily your reciting or religious routine, anything done on human effort is praying in the flesh. So then that tells us maybe then what praying in the Spirit is. So praying in the Spirit, I love what the NIV Spirit-Filled Study Bible Commentary says. It says this, "Prayer is not to be seen just as another weapon, but as part of the actual conflict itself, where the victory is won for ourselves and others by," listen to this, "by working together with God himself. To fail to pray diligently with all kinds of prayers in all situations is to surrender to the enemy." You see, it might actually be the biggest battle is just to getting you to a place of prayer. Making it a priority. Just showing up sometimes to pray is the hardest part. I like what Oswald Sanders wrote. He said, "Here is the secret of prevailing prayer. To pray under a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who petitions for us and through us, are always according to divine purpose, and hence certain of an answer." So we are praying with God, not to God. Well, yes, we are to God, but it's with Him. We know that if we're praying with God, we know in Romans 8, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit intercedes with us. In Hebrews, it talks about Jesus being our high priest who is making, who is advocating on our behalf. You see, God wants to help us in prayer. In fact, God wants to lead us in prayer. But what does that practically mean? So this week, when we talk about praying in the Spirit, what does that actually mean? I've been reading a book called The Sanctuary of the Soul, A Journey in Meditative Prayer by Richard Foster. And he talks about collectedness in prayer. It's kind of an interesting thought, and I'll invite Jess back to the piano. It's actually a really important part of prayer. And so Thomas Merton, who is an American writer, theologian, Catholic priest, said this: the price of true collectedness or recollection is a, listen to this, is a firm resolve to take no willful interest in anything that is not useful or necessary to our interior life. Collectedness involves a recollecting of ourselves until we are unified and whole, Richard Foster says. The whole idea is to let go of competing distractions until we have become fully present where we are. Sometimes anchoring our mind in a brief scripture, phrase, or passage helps us with that. Collectedness. Have you ever heard that phrase? You're calm, you're cool, and what? Collected. Means you're present. Means you're there with an undistracted focus. You're there with a listening heart. And then praying according to the will of God from that place. When was the last time you had that kind of prayer? Where you just sat and you waited. You just sat and waited until God spoke. You just said, "I'm not going to speak till you speak, God." If I'm honest, it's been a while. I have my lists, my things. Here, God, you know what's happening in our world, and you know what this is about, and you are obviously very aware, being in Ottawa, knowing what is happening in our nation. And you've got these lists and things, but when was the last time you just stopped and collected yourselves and just waited on the Lord in submission to God first in prayer? You see, this is the place that things change. And if it doesn't change the situation, it still changes you. Can I get an amen out there? Sitting in that place, waiting on God, is going to change you. And so especially in spiritual warfare, we need to hear from the Holy Spirit on what to pray, don't we? So this isn't usually a quick prayer. It sometimes takes hard work. Like the old Puritan adage, pray until you pray. Stay there until you find that place of prayer. And then quickly, Paul the Apostle says, on all occasions, anywhere, anytime. There's no Greek hidden meaning here. It's always good to pray in the Spirit. Could I get an amen out there? With all kinds of prayers, prayers of blessing and healing and adoration and protection, petition and confession and repentance and thanksgiving, written or spontaneous, liturgical or in your spiritual language, there are lots and lots of options for you to pray. As long as we are being led by the Spirit and in cooperation with Him, especially in spiritual warfare where we can't see the enemy. We know the Spirit sees, so praying in the Spirit is so important on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. And since we are gathered here and it seems like it fits the all occasion, we're going to spend some time in prayer today. It's never been more important, folks. As we look, as I was chatting with Pastor Jeff before the service, with all the things that are happening in our nation, with the state of where the church is, and how most movements and denominations are declining, and we're in a plateau, and boy, there's never been a greater need for the church in Canada to pray. Could I get an amen out there? To have only 51% of our churches say that they have a regular prayer meeting should wake us up. I've never needed God more. I've never needed Him more. This has been a tough season for me. At moments where I felt even like anxiety and fear creep in during the pandemic and not being able to play to my strengths and doing all those things. And I know that you have felt the stress and anxiety of all of it as well. I've never needed God more. May I say to this, you've never needed God more for what we need to do, what God is asking you to do, for us to see churches planted all over Canada, all over the world, to see people reached with the gospel so we can provide access points to them so they can meet Jesus. We've never needed to be in prayer more. Not only corporate prayer, but personal prayer. And not just doing, you know, just those moments where it's just like, oh good, I did my prayer as just routine and religion, but actually seeking the heart of God, actually seeking Him. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads with me right now. Thanks so much for listening. We have a little bit of time left this morning, and so I want to lead you in some prayer. We're going to turn this into a prayer meeting this morning. And I want you to focus on this one thought right now because I think it's something we need that Paul the Apostle said in verse 10. He says, be strong in the Lord. I want you right now to begin to pray for yourself and pray for your families and pray for those that you know that are maybe struggling in their faith. Begin to pray. Come on, church, just begin to pray right now. Be strong in the Lord. And in His mighty power, what does that mean for you today? Focus on Him. Just while you're praying and reflecting, maybe you're here this morning or maybe you're watching online and you don't know what being strong in the Lord is. You've never had that encounter. You've never started that relationship with Him. I want to pray for you. And I'm going to include you in my prayer at the end. And if you're here today and if there's a way that you can connect online with someone here at the church, please let them know that you made this decision. But if you're here in the room today and you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, there are people in this room right now that are praying for you to have the courage to respond and make the best decision you can ever make. And simply by putting up your hand, you're saying, I want Jesus to come into my life, be Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sin so I can start a brand new walk with Him. To have a new start. Maybe there's some people in the room feel like there's no way that God could ever give me a new start. Yes, He can. He did it for me. He's done it for hundreds in this room. And if you're here today feeling something inside, you're feeling a stirring, can I encourage you to respond today? And if that's you, just lift up your hand. I'm looking to my right, your left. Is there anyone here? And I'm looking across the room. Just lift up your hand. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else as I look across? I'll just take a few moments. Is there anyone else that would say, yes, I want to receive Jesus today? Maybe you're here today and you're feeling like, I don't feel strong in the Lord. I feel like this has just taken a lot out of me. I know a lot of people in this pandemic have walked away from their faith. And they had strong faith, but the enemy shook. He shook and he flipped things upside down and slammed to the ground and flipped up and slammed to the ground until they became separated. But I want you to know that there's no thing that can separate you from the love of God. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And if you need strength today, I want you just to lift up your hand and say, yeah, I'm here today, Pastor. I need strength. If that's you, don't be ashamed. Thank you. Thank you. You're saying, I need strength. Is there anyone else here? Thank you. I need strength right now. Go ahead. You begin to ask for it right now. Go ahead and just begin to ask. We have a few more minutes left. Just begin to ask God for strength. God, I pray out you pour out your power right now. And just while you continue on in prayer, and I'm going to close in prayer in just a moment. After Jesus said to Simon, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, he said, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And later on, he talks about pray that you don't fall into temptation. And so that is going to be my closing prayer for you today, that your faith would not fail. I'm going to invite everyone to stand up just for a moment here. If you could do that, thanks so much for listening. And if you feel comfortable, just put out your hands as we just pray this closing prayer together. God, I thank you for that individual that said yes to you today. God, all of heaven celebrates. What a good day this is. And God, as they make that declaration of saying, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, God, the miracle of salvation is happening for this individual. And we thank you, God. For those that said that they need strength today, I pray with their outstretched arms, they're saying, I receive that strength that is so freely given. God, we're tired of fighting physical battles. When the real battle is in that spiritual place, God, the inner parts of our lives, God, strengthen it again. Those gifts, those talents, those abilities, those passions again. God, stir them up again while the enemy has tried to put out that fire in them. God, I pray that you blow on it again in Jesus' name. If there is a place that we need a praying church, it's in Ottawa. God, I pray for the churches here that they would rise up and see themselves as almost like the point of a spear to see a breakthrough. God, in this congregation and those watching online and here in the room, I pray you strengthen them. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And I pray this blessing over you. And when I want you to understand that Jesus is praying this over you, and He's praying this, guess what? Your faith isn't going to fail, so lean in. Lean in. Your faith isn't going to fail. He's going to keep you from temptation. And so, God, I pray for every single person here, the kids over in the gym and all over the place, from the very youngest to the very oldest. I pray that blessing over you right now, that your faith would not fail and that you would not fall into temptation. Be strong today. Be strong today in the Lord. Be strong today in the Lord. Be strong today in the Lord. Come on, believe it again. Believe it again that you can be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. God, we don't wage war as the world wages war, but we come to you, the one who can change it. And so, God, change those things. Change us first. Be strong in the Lord today and in His mighty power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.